morning.
Yeah, good morning.
It's good to see you here today. We know that you remembered to change your clocks and got here on time. We may see some folks come in, maybe even an hour late. But it's good to have you here as we gather for worship today. So a special welcome to those who are visiting today, and want to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in the kitchen right next door to the parlor. You'll note on the back page the bulletin, the calendar for this week, and I'm not going to read it to you, but just do call your attention to it. I do want to point out that we do have our feeding ministry this coming Friday, and Saturday morning we are having a work day here at the church, and that's open to anybody and everybody who'd like to come. We are getting ready. This is our final Sunday for winter worship in the parlor. We are moving to the sanctuary for worship next week, as is Palm Sunday. So we're looking for some volunteers to come and help us not only get the sanctuary, but Judson Chapel and other areas spruced up a little, mainly on this level of the church building. We've had some painting and plastering done this winter, and there's some dust in places, you may have noticed. And so we really would like to get everything spruced up for spring, but also for Holy Week events. So inviting anybody and everybody to come. If you can't come at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock is great. We may be done before 12, so I wouldn't wait till 11:30 to come, because we may be pooped out by then. And so if you can come, earlier the better. But that's next Saturday. Also, you also see the announcement underneath the calendar this week, the Palm Sunday concert at Immaculate Conception Parish next Sunday evening as well. And several of our choir members, I think, are singing in that. Richard, you're a soloist?
I am, and Irene.
And Irene's both soloists in that as well.
Just one thing on the cleanup day, bring rags.
Yes, bring rags. I'll be sending an email of this. I bought other things that we talked about at the board meeting, but if you have any rags, please bring those
old
with
you. Old men's shirts, things like that.
Anything.
Men's old shirts.
Depends on where you put the adjectives.
I have both.
We continue to receive your gifts, the American Christ offering this month. I believe it's 124, I think. I can't read the title from here, but
yes.
I believe we received 124 towards our goal of 750. We are going to be watching a video this morning, the second of that's available, and I thought we'd get it in while we're still here in the parlor. It's easier to set up and watch here in the parlor. So there's another video we'll be watching today about that. Also, I've got something on my list, but I'm not seeing it. So, Easter flowers. If you want to order Easter flowers and there's not an order form in there, call the church office tomorrow and let us know, and we can fill out a form for you. Deadline, I believe, is next Sunday if you want to have flowers for Easter. Since we are moving to the sanctuary next week, you can help us. Not even if you can't come to work day, you can help us today to take all the hymnals out. The cart from the kitchen is out in the hallway, so after the service you can help collect all the hymnals, take them out, and we'll put those away back in the sanctuary, so that that's one job that will be done prior to part of our transfer. Also, next week is Holy Week, as I mentioned, and I've spoken to a few of you. Our Maundy-Thursday service will be held here in the parlor, since it's a smaller group, with a different setup than what it is right now. But it's usually a smaller, more intimate group. And there will be several dramatic readings as part of the service, and I am looking for some volunteers. So if you're available that evening, I do ask, I hope you'll be able to say yes, that you're able to help with that as well. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the bulletin for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading words from the Apostle Paul as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship on this Lenten Sunday. Let us read responsibly. May we never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.
To which the Lord has been crucified to us and us to the world.
We no longer live,
but Christ lives in us.
The life we live in the body, we live by faith in the Son of God,
who loved us and gave himself for us.
Our opening hymn is I Gave My Life for Thee, number 546. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
I Gave
God, this Lenten season is designed for us to evaluate our lives, to seek repentance and cleansing. We pray that both our common worship and our personal prayers may open our hearts, help us to be honest with ourselves and with you, and allow us to experience the passion, crucifixion, and resurrection of our Savior with fresh understanding. By reading his teachings and being inspired by his self-giving life, may we be prepared to accept what he has done for us and show our gratitude and love to him in new and effective ways. We ask this all in his most precious and powerful name. We now pray as he taught, as we pray aloud together, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Scholars, established in 2009, works to bring hope to this community by supporting and inspiring youth to work toward college admission.
What we've really tried to do is empower students and families to succeed, and really coming alongside them and providing resources that are available to most middle-class and upper-middle-class families that are not available to them.
These resources include mentoring, tutoring, college visits, SAT prep, and a Spanish Parents Academy that explains college admission. American Baptist Home Mission Societies helped Hoya Scholars develop these resources with two grants totaling close to $10,000.
It was really wonderful to have these grants. Because of that, we were able to fund our high school program. We were able to start a junior high program without that money, without kind of that investment in us.
I have 22 students in my program this year. I have 14 in high school and 8 in my junior high program this year.
For many, many, many years, if you grew up in this neighborhood, there wasn't much available to you. And I think they know that's different now that they work hard, apply themselves, they can do great things.
I think about parents who constantly tell me, I used to have a child that kind of cared for school, but all they really wanted to do was go to Target and become the clerk. That's all the aspiration that they had before Hoya. Now that Hoya is here, their child doesn't think like that anymore. You can dream,
change the lives of youth like Valeria. Please give generously.
We never know how our dollars will be used, what lives will be touched through one of our offerings. Children who aspired only to be a clerk in a department store now goes to college and has a future. Because of dollars that we give as American Baptists that support programs like this across the country and Puerto Rico. So I encourage you to think about the children, the youth, and the adults who benefit from, it's not just going to church on Sunday, but it's other outreach programs of sharing Christ's love with others. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the videos that we've been able to see and the handouts we've had in our bulletins that talk about how we as American Baptists are reaching out to others in our communities. Lord, we pray that the dollars that we give may be blessed and multiplied and shared with others, that those that not only don't know Christ, but have very low self-image, will come to understand themselves and see themselves in new lights. We pray for those that are working with these people as well, Lord, and just pray that they may have a sense of our love for them. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Is the Sunday school teacher here today? Rosalind's teaching today. Okay, so students may go out for Sunday school with Mrs. Noah. Sharing our celebrations and our concerns with one another as we go to a time of prayer. And we want to continue to remember Delphine Haldane as she continues to recuperate. And we want to remember David McCurry, Joe's brother, who, as I mentioned last week, has been diagnosed with cancer in his lung. It is melanoma, and staging is not very good. But they are hopeful. There are some trials, and he's looking at perhaps the same type of trial that former President Jimmy Carter underwent these past several months. Apparently, was a great success. But still trying to make decisions as to exactly what his treatment will be. So we want to keep David Curie and his family in prayer today. We do want to keep victims of floods that we are seeing in the southern part of our country. Devastation is taking place there. And also we want to remember the family of Jackie May, who did pass away on Thursday. And so we just want to keep Alan, her husband, and Irene, her sister-in-law, and other family members and friends in prayer during this time. Jackie is no longer struggling. She is at peace. And but we do want to still keep the family in prayer during this time of mourning. If you have any requests for prayer, or celebrations, or concerns you'd like to share with the church, Marilyn?
Yeah, my friend Judy Perry is, actually she's undergoing some sort of a trial too to help determine something wrong with her lungs, perhaps.
Dorothy, is there a
hand? I'd ask for prayer for our grandson Todd's mother, who has some spreading cancer.
Okay.
I'll
keep Todd's
mother's
I'm trying to think, it wasn't coming. So Kim, we want to keep Kim in prayer today. Yes.
Hey, Pastor Cordell Carter. Mm-hmm. Prayer for family and have a big meeting in the morning.
Okay, so we want to keep you prepared for that meeting and ready to go. Thank you.
Keep Phyllis and family in the prayer.
Yeah, some of a couple of our shut-ins. We want to keep them in prayer. Barbara?
I have a friend whose husband has been
diagnosed with bladder cancer. Also, a good friend, she slipped on a tiny piece of ice and broke her wrist, so this has been a good week.
So we keep them in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request? Now then, let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for this opportunity of spending these few moments in conversation with you. Lord, we must confess that sometimes we don't have you very high on our priority list. At times that the prayers just tend to not happen, but when we get busy, well, we forget. Lord, forgive us when we do that. Lord, during this Lenten season, we are continually reminded of our relationship with you and our desire to have a closer relationship with you. One of, you know, in knowing on our parts, we need to look at ourselves and to seek repentance for those mistakes that we've made and those things that we've done that have been against your will. And Lord, we just, during this Lenten season, we do come again and thank you that you are a merciful and loving God, a God of justice, but a God of mercy. And we know, Lord, that you will forgive us of our sins if we come repentant to you. And Lord, we come this day opening our hearts to you. Some of our hearts are filled with sorrow and pain. And Lord, we just ask for you to come and lift some of that burden from us. Others of us are so filled with joy that it's just bubbling over. And Lord, we share that with you and pray that you would share that with others, that it's almost too much for us to. Lord, many of us are somewhere in the middle with our troubles and our joys. I just pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless us and be with us throughout our lives. Lord, we just thank you that your Spirit is with us no matter what we do, no matter where we go, as long as we are open to it, that we may follow its leading in our lives. We pray this day, Lord, for those who are ill. We just pray for healing according to your will in their lives. We pray for those who are in mourning today who have lost loved ones, and pray especially for the May family today, but also others that are feeling sadness and separation and loss. We just pray for your Spirit of comfort and peace to be with them. They may find companionship through your Spirit as well, God. Lord, we pray for those who are traveling today, and just, you know, that they may have safe journeys. And we also have seen pictures of the devastation taking place in the southern part of our country, Lord. Just pray for all of those who have been affected by flood waters. Just pray for those that are responding to the need, who are evacuating victims out of their homes. Those who have begun to return to their homes and to see the devastation, Lord. We just pray that they may not lose hope. Pray that, you know, that they may start again. Lord, just pray that, you know, those that suffered so much that they may build again, they may resume their lives. Lord, we do pray for those first responders and the second and third responders that will come and will be ministering to them and helping them, that they may not lose hope either or just be discouraged. Lord, we pray for our world as well, and we pray for those areas where there is warfare today, and just pray for peace in those areas. We pray for our nation, oh God, where the political process has become violent, and we just don't understand what's happening to our country, Lord. We just, again, pray for wisdom for those who are voting, that we make this wise decisions in all that we do, but especially in who we select for our next leader. And not only as our president, but also our Senate, senators and congresspeople as well, that they are the true leaders and help shape who we are as a nation and how we respond to each other and to others outside our nation. Lord, just help us to make wise choices. Lord, we pray all of these things now to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We have an opportunity now to worship by presenting our tithes and our gifts. At this time, the ushers receive the morning offering. With others. It's in his name that we ask this. Amen. I invite you to turn and greet those who are standing near you this morning.
Good morning, girls.
Oh,
be seated. Richard Freeman is our lay leader today and be coming to read the scripture.
Today's scripture is from the book of Mark, chapter 27, verses 3 to 10. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and he left. Then he went away and he hanged himself. The chief priests picked up the coins and said, "It is against the law to put this money into the treasury since it's blood money." So they decided to use the money to buy a potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used it to buy a potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. Bless God and the reading of his word.
Let's pray together. Lord, as we have sung a hymn which is often reserved for Good Friday and heard scripture of a Good Friday text as well, but focusing on Judas and what he had done and the remorse he had, and realizing, Lord, that we often are as guilty not to necessarily have Jesus crucified because that already happened. But through our denials and our betrayals, we too sin. Lord, in this season of Lent, as we move ever closer to Holy Week and Good Friday, yearning for the brightness and hope of Easter, we know that there is still work for us to do in our spiritual lives. We pray, Lord, that our hearts and our minds will be open this day to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Suppose I jingled a bunch of coins in my pocket or in this bag or dropped some quarters on a marble floor. If you were to close your eyes and listen to the sound that money makes, what would it remind you of? Perhaps a person preparing to roll coins that have been collecting in a glass jar, or a child shaking a piggy bank in hopes that a coin will slip through the slot. The discharge of coins from a change dispensing cash register, an expectant gambler working the slot machines and hoping that this will be the really big hit. Or a person searching through a change purse for some coins for the parking meter. What does the sound of loose change remind you of? Have you ever associated the sound of jingling money with the crucifixion of Jesus? During the Lenten season, we focus our attention on how overwhelming the love of Christ really is. It's overwhelming because Jesus was willing and is willing to make himself vulnerable to love, to place himself in a position where we can accept or reject him, where we can embrace or exclude him, where we can receive or dismiss him. The sound of clanking coins can either be grating or pleasant, depending on where and for what reason it is being made. During the last week of Jesus' life, we hear that sound three times, according to Scripture. The first time, Jesus is sitting in the temple of Jerusalem near the treasury. The treasury consisted of 13 trumpet-shaped receptacles into which worshipers paid their offerings. They didn't have padded collection plates, so that as the temple coins were put in the boxes, they clanked, and the value
and the size of the offering was inevitably revealed. We've made it nice so that we don't hear most of the time the change clinking and clanking. Jesus was sitting there watching and listening and noted a widow of interest, and she threw in two tiny coins, according to Mark and Luke. The coins made very little noise as they struck the box, so he could tell that they were insignificant by society's standards. There was something about that widow, however, that told Jesus that what she was giving was an expression of her thankfulness and her love. He surmised that those two coins were all that she had. She must have felt so grateful that she could only express her feeling by giving all that she had, even though it was a small amount. The sound of those coins was the sound of care and response, for they had found their proper place. Bag's going to fall apart if I'm not careful. The sound of clanking coins was heard another time that week in the temple. It was the sound made by coins that had gotten out of the proper place. Pilgrims came to Jerusalem from all over the Mediterranean area for the annual celebration of the Jewish Passover. They felt that if they could just get to the Jerusalem temple, they could experience the presence of God as they could nowhere else on earth. Many of them saved many years sometimes to finance this trip at least once in their lifetime. When the pilgrims entered the temple, each had to pay a tax that could only be paid with temple currency. This meant they had to exchange the various currencies of the lands from which they came for the temple's money. The money changers sat at the tables to help with their exchange, charging a percentage that was extremely out of proportion for the service rendered. Making a sacrifice, which was at the very heart of their religion, would seem essential to these pilgrims as they came as worshipers. Unless they had to travel too far, they often brought lambs and other animals for their sacrifice. The animals had to be inspected to make sure they were without blemish and appropriate for sacrifice, and therefore they would be acceptable to God. The inspector made it a point of finding some blemish, and the pilgrims then had to pay the inside price for an acceptable animal. The whole affair was a huge racket, and yet no one did anything to stop it. Into this situation came Jesus. He was angry that worshipers were being exploited and taken advantage of. He unfastened the cages and freed the animals, then turned over the tables of the exchangers and loudly scattering the money in all directions. He proclaimed, "You have made this house of prayer a den of robbers." Here was the sound of money that had gotten out of its proper place. Here was money exploiting a person's deep need for God, turning sacred rituals into gimmicks for personal gain. Excuse me. Cashing in on the faith of the seekers. For a third time, the sound of clanking coins was heard during that last week of Jesus' life. And again, it was in the temple where coins sealed the worst bargain ever made. It was the clanking of 30 pieces of silver. There are 5 different biblical accounts of Judas and his tragic action, but none really answers our question of why did he betray the master? How could Judas bring himself to go through with it? We might think, was it greed? It could have been, although 30 pieces of silver was a small sum. The high priest and the other leaders were desperate to arrest Jesus and would have paid any price that Judas asked. Why didn't Judas hold out for more money? Perhaps the 30 pieces were meant only as a means to seal the bargain, to commit both Judas and the officials. Perhaps it was like taking an option or making a deposit on the purchase of a piece of property. 30 pieces assured Judas that he was now part of the inner circle, the power group, the decision makers. Did Judas betray Jesus because he was disappointed, disillusioned, disenchanted with Jesus? Like all of his fellow Jews, Judas had some expectations about the Messiah, this long-expected deliverer of the Israelite nation. Since Jesus was not living up to Judas's expectations, Judas may have decided to force Jesus' hand. "Get on with it, Jesus," Judas may have muttered under his breath. "I expect a solution to problems. I expect you to ease my pain. I expect protection and favoritism. If I sell you to the priest, then surely you will call down the armies of God and invade the planet Earth." A lot of us make down payments on more than just land and houses and furniture. We make payments of a little dishonesty, a bit of deception, a few lies. We do so in order to be a part of some group, or to win some favor, or to be awarded some promotion. We don't measure greed in quantities. The 30 pieces of silver represent self-seeking on Judas's part and our part. He did give in to greed, and so do we. We give up our integrity, our sincerity, our uprightness, our truthfulness, in order to get something that will give us immediate gratification or quick satisfaction. The sound of clanking coins may remind us of our greed, however hidden that greed may be. Often God does not come up to our expectations by giving us what we want or feel that we deserve. Knowing we cannot force God's hand, we take matters into our own hands and assume that God's way is our way. Our whole society is built around the philosophy that we can get what we want so long as we have the money to pay for it. Just look at our homes, our vehicles, clothing, vacations, social standing, and so on. Our Christian faith tells us there are a host of things that money cannot buy, such as peace of mind, assurance about life, friendship, love, understanding, to name just a few. Years ago, there was an ambitious couple who both felt that a high income, a large house, and social prominence would put them on top. They worked at it, using every available opportunity, resource, and relationship to obtain their common goal. His profession blossomed because he was a good lawyer. Her status in the community rose, for she was outgoing and sociable. They built their dream house. It was large, spacious, and elegant. They had no financial difficulties, for their income matched their ambition. The one thing they neglected to pursue was their marriage, their relationship with each other. Money had bought them both what they wanted, but in the process, they lost their marriage. This story could be multiplied thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of times. Money can buy us what we want, provided we can live with what we want. It can never buy us what we need. Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver in order to get what he thought he wanted. The coins represent his misplaced priority. I wonder how Judas spent the rest of that Thursday night and early hours of that Friday morning. Was he alone, counting his money, congratulating himself that he was forcing Jesus to act like his Messiah, his understanding of the Messiah? Perhaps it was later that Good Friday morning, hovering on the fringes of the crowd, listening to the trial before Pilate, and watching the governor fight for the life of the prisoner, that Judas suddenly saw what he had done. Perhaps then he realized that he had followed his greed and misplaced priorities to crucify Jesus. Judas hurried once again to the temple. With a desperate sense of urgency, he wanted to get the money back to the priests, to go back on his bargain, to cancel the contract, to undo the whole sorry business. But it was too late. The priest told him it was not of their affair and refused to take over for him in any way. The 30 pieces of silver could not buy Jesus back. There are also some things that money can never bring back for us either. A young man left college before graduation and started a business. It flourished, and within a few years, he was wealthy. He purchased a yacht on which to travel the Canadian lakes. On the maiden voyage, with his family aboard, he touched the starter. There was a short circuit, a blinding explosion, and the boat was immediately engulfed in flames. He managed to push his wife and one of his sons overboard to safety and then jump himself. But his other son was burned to death. Months later, as the man was playing golf with friends, he retold the story of the fire. He also told how some well-meaning person, trying to cheer him, had said, "Well, there's one thing you can be grateful for. Your boat was insured, so you didn't lose your money." At that moment, the man's face drained of blood and his skin turned gray. Tears ran down his cheeks and his voice broke as he said, "My money! What did I care about my money? All my money? My boy is dead." There are some things in life that money cannot replace. There are some experiences that money cannot undo. In today's scripture, Judas tried to undo what he had done. The priests would not take the coins back. So Judas flung. I didn't do it on the carpet because it wasn't going to make noise. He flung the money on the floor of the temple. Was there ever a more tragic outward expression of what money cannot buy or buy back? Was there ever a more tragic outward expression of what money cannot do and all that it cannot undo? Scripture tells us, "Then Judas went out and hanged himself." Out of the strange silence which comes when the clanking of those 30 notorious coins is stilled, we seem to hear a voice. It asks, as we ponder the enigma of Judas, "What does it profit you if you gain the whole world and forfeit your life?" Let's pray together. Lord, we must confess that at times our priorities are misplaced. At times we get so wrapped up in earthly things that we place our treasure in the wrong place. We focus in the wrong areas. Lord, in this Lenten season, we pray that we may be mindful of the clanking coins of that Holy Week, mindful of the widow who gave all that she had, mindful of the pilgrims who were exploited by the money changers at the temple. And also remember that Judas thought he was doing what was best and sadly realized too late of what he had done. Lord, the next time that we hear change jingling in our pockets or our wallets, remind us of the price that Jesus paid for us. Something so tangible that we hear each day that it may have a spiritual influence for us. Lord, help us to prioritize our lives so that we do not forfeit our lives, but that we may always turn to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
A closing hymn this morning is printed in the bulletin as an insert, Before the Cross of Jesus. With your eyes on the cross, for when Christ is lifted up from the earth, he will draw all people to himself. Amen.